Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy, and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to know more about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a lot of you hanging on. We're right to the phone lines. First up, Matt in Olathe, Kansas. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Hank. I wish you had all day to answer my questions. So much to say and so much gratitude and appreciation for you and your ministry. It helped me so much along the way.
Thank you. Bless you.
My question quickly is in regards to the Holy Spirit. I believe I have a good grasp on His role and purpose within our lives as believers, as a guider and revealer, providing checks and balances for us. But the context of my question is in regards to corporate worship, certain songs that we invite the Holy Spirit to come, fill the atmosphere, or make His presence more known to us. When we do that, is that doctrinally sound? Is that theologically correct?
Well, I certainly think that the Holy Spirit actively works within us, and He doesn't simply actively work within us as singularities, but rather acts within us in community. And therefore, to invite the presence of the Holy Spirit within the context of a worship service is a way of talking about yielding ourselves in community to the purposes and power of the Spirit, so that our will is yielded to the will of the Spirit. So I think there's a way in which that can be contextualized so that we are no longer relying upon might or power, but rather relying upon His Spirit to do what we do, whether it's worship, whether it is the oneness that we experience with one another, or whether it is the whole function of being equipped to communicate what we believe to a lost and searching world, which again is not done by might or by power, but by His Spirit. We can do a lot in the flesh, but it turns to gravel in our teeth. If we do it through the unction of the Holy Spirit, then it becomes a pleasure.
Okay, well, that brings great clarity, and I can't thank you enough.
Matt, thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Scott, Modesto, California. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Hank. I'm a new believer, and I'm having issues with performance-based acceptance, which everyone grows up with in every aspect of life, and who I am in Christ. I seem to be wanting to punish myself for sin, but by doing so, I build a wall of sin between me and God, and by the time I'm done punishing myself, I'm so far away from Him that the shame and embarrassment and regret keep me from coming back to Him with all those sins to confess. And I don't think I fully understand who I am in Christ and what that exactly means.
Yeah. You know, I think there's a big distinction between training and trying. I think that if you try to do better, if you try to read your Bible more, if you try to pray more, if you try to do good works more, you end up being frustrated in the end. But if you train yourself for righteousness, you will start finding that you have an identity and a purpose grounded in the power of God. What I mean by that is if all I do is try to be a better golfer every time I go to play golf, I'm still going to have the same frustrations. But if I train myself which is to say, if I do those disciplines that later on bear fruit as I play golf, then it becomes more of a joy, more of a pleasure, and it becomes much more productive as well. And so this is what life practices are all about. Life practices are training in the quiet, so to speak, in those places where no one is watching. We do those things out of discipline. We are taught to pray. So what we do is we withdraw to a lonely place to pray, just as Jesus Christ did. When we do that, when we are now in the cauldron of adversity, or we're being tempted, or maybe the winds of doubt are beating upon your house, then you're going to be supported because you have been doing those things that Christians do in the secret place, as it were. And that's the same thing with respect to reading the Bible, which is not only reading the Bible, but memorizing the Word of God and meditating upon the Word of God. All of those things are training for righteousness, and they supplant this other idea of trying, which always leads to failing and frustration and then building the barrier that you just so well articulated. I think also in this regard, it's helpful to take a psalm like Psalm 139 and memorize it and recognize through memorizing it that your feelings aren't paramount. It is His promises that ultimately are paramount. Oh Lord, You have searched me. You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, You know it completely, O Lord. Once you get these kinds of words in your mind, you know that there's never a mind game with God. He already understands every fiber of your being, and He loves you exactly as you are. But building intimacy with Him comes from doing the things that He asks us to do. I mean, that's what it means to be a Christian. It's not simply saying, check the box off, I want to have everlasting life. No, it's being an intimate, interactive member of the family of God. It's having intimacy with God in the presence. It's being part of the kingdom now, a disciple of Jesus Christ. You may not understand all that entails as a new Christian, but it's saying, I want to follow Jesus Christ. He has the answers to all of life's dilemmas. I want to follow Him. I want to do it His way. As a participant in the kingdom in that way, you start to see that the King Himself indwells you, and He will not only allow you to know Him intimately through those life practices, but He's actually in you. So you're not going through life alone, you're going through life with another person, directing you through the tangled web of human existence. But I think you do have to get back to those life practices, because when you train yourself for righteousness, you don't end up frustrated through your trying.
Right, but the thing I stumble upon is my actions. So Christ died for me and took all this pain, and so I show my gratitude by what? By sinning and just slapping them right across the face. Oh, thanks for dying for me and suffering. Here, take this. Here's a curse word. Or my actions are what is stumbling me, basically.
Yeah.
In other words, how do I show God my gratitude for, I mean, the cat of nine tails ripping apart someone's flesh. He did that for me.
Yeah.
And I repay him by, I don't know, let's say going on the internet, looking at porn. That's how I repay him? That's how I show my gratitude?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And what you do is you do the things that Jesus Christ did because you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You're an imitator of Jesus Christ. And you look at the Apostle Paul, who persecuted Christians. I mean, he sought the death of Christians, and he says, I am what I am by the grace of God. Ultimately,
I could not imagine the guilt that he must have had, knowing what he did.
He says, I am the least of the apostles. I don't even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, and yet not I, but the grace of God that was within me. then whether it was I or they, this is what we preach and this is what we believe, says Paul. So ultimately what Paul did was he became an imitator of Jesus Christ, and he asked us to imitate him as he imitates Jesus Christ. And those are the very life practices or living disciplines that I was talking about. This is not merely an inward state of mind, but it's an outward manner of life. And so we want to do what Christ did in every dimension of our lives. If Christ fasted, we should fast. And only by doing what Christ did will we ultimately gain victory over those habits that you're talking about, those habits that are embodied in our sin nature. Living disciplines characterize the life of the incarnate Christ, and in like fashion, they must come to characterize the lives of those who desire to become Christ-like. I appreciate your soft heart, your tender heart towards the things of God, and I think that's a great starting point. But remember, your faith is not based on your feeling. It's based on His promise, and He will never leave or forsake those who are genuine disciples. Be right back.
Hank Hanegraaff's most personal book ever, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, is a vulnerable voyage detailing Hank's pilgrimage from a life devoted to a defense of truth because truth matters to his discovery that life matters more. Are you ready to discover the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life? To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Don't go away. We'll be back in a few moments with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI. and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Beth, Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Beth.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I have this question about a book that's been going around or hearing it and seeing it on YouTube. Says Jesus is not God. I know Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Could you expound on that for me, please?
Well, yes, but saying that Jesus Christ is the Son of God does not mean that Jesus Christ is not very God. Because Son of God certainly points to Jesus Christ in the fullness or the effulgence of His divinity. And Jesus Christ over and over again demonstrated that He was God through the very things that He did. He was able to heal blind eyes. He was able, through His own power, to overcome death and the grave. But in many different places, Jesus Christ overtly claimed that He was God, such that the Jews took His words as being the epitome of blasphemy. And when Jesus said, "I and the Father are one," the Jews said, "We are not stoning you for the miraculous deeds that you're doing, but because you, a mere man, claim that you are God." So Jesus, again, over and over again, took on the claim of being God. The Bible claims that Jesus Christ is God, and the supernatural works that Jesus Christ did in His earthly sojourn demonstrate that He was God.
Thank you very much.
You are welcome. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jason in Oklahoma. Hi, Jason.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering that, have you had any period in your own walk where you struggled, what they would refer to as a backslide? And if you have, what did you do to help you come out of that?
As I have confessed on the Bible Answer Man broadcast and in various places throughout my writings, I love the game of golf. And although it has brought me great satisfaction over the years, it has been extremely frustrating as well. At certain times, I feel like I am on the verge of setting a new course record, but in other instances, I wonder why I ever started playing golf in the first place. After many years of practicing and playing, I finally stumbled on a secret. When things go wrong, it's not because I'm failing to follow some newfangled faddish formula, but because I have compromised one of the basic fundamentals of the game. And I never cease to be amazed at how quickly things fall back into place when I get back to basics. And what is true with respect to the game of golf is equally true in the art of successful Christian living. When everything goes awry, it also comes back into focus when we focus on the basics. Because when things start to fall apart in our lives, and our life certainly is one series of challenges after the other, we're often tempted to look for solutions in all the wrong places. The secrets to real intimacy with God are always found in getting back to basics. When the winds and waves of doubt beat upon your house of faith, you can return to those pillars and posts that you can hold on to, knowing that God created the universe, Jesus Christ is God, and the Bible's the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, everything necessary for faith and practice. That's an illustration of going back to basics.
Thank you, Hank. I guess my question to that would be, how do you know love is real? I mean, I can say I love Jesus, but I mean, you talk about all the time about your emotions and being careful of your emotions being, you know, not true to what's really going on, or deceiving, I should say. How do you know?
I mean, think about what David said in Psalm 51, "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." And then he said, "You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." David here is demonstrating his love for the Lord, because when he violates the principles of the kingdom, he is brokenhearted by those violations, and therefore he goes to the Lord and tells the Lord, "I love you." And it's not just an empty word, because it's not just about a burnt offering or an outer manifestation, but it is the intent of the heart. This is why David was recognized in Scripture as a man after God's own heart, a man whose heart panted after God like a deer pants after the water brooks.
Yeah, well, thank you for taking my call and answering that question for me. I just want to say that for any Christian out there, I told myself 4 years ago that I would never be a backslider, and 4 years now I'm having to question whether or not I'm a real Christian, and I just know that I never would have imagined it would have happened to me, but it did. One little compromise here, one little compromise there, and this is what happens, and so I just, people need to be careful for that.
Yeah, but Jason, here's the thing that you want to ask yourself right now at this very moment. In fact, I'm going to ask you the question, do you want to follow Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he is the wisest man who ever lived, and therefore you want to do what he says in terms of living out your life?
I absolutely do, and it's just, you know, you let the world kind of choke you up and, you know, see seeds amongst the thorns kind of thing. So is that seed a true Christian? Can they still make it? You know,
Well, the thing is, your answer is the answer. If you say you love Jesus Christ and you want to follow Jesus Christ, you recognize not only that he was the wisest man who ever lived, but also God in human flesh. If you want to follow him, yes, you're going to stumble on the path as you go from this point to the time in which you meet him face to face, but he is never going to leave or forsake you, and even in the darkest moments, he's going to carry you. But you have to recognize that now the indwelling Christ lives within you, so when you look out of your eyes, it is, in fact, wanting to look out of your eyes and see as Christ would see, to be as Christ would do. And that's why you want to use everything at your disposal to participate in the kingdom. But the real operative word is willingness, because we do fall, we all stumble, and certainly I'm one of those that stumble along with everybody else. But my righteousness is not a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you. Thank you, Hank. You know, getting into the Word, I think the biggest thing that hurt me is that I stopped reading. After so many years, I read every single page. I loved it, and I loved Jesus, and I just kind of put the Bible aside and stopped going to it. Then I stopped going to church. It's just a snowball of things that happened. Thank you very much for
Well, thank you for your candor, and what you have pointed out I think is helpful to our listeners as well, because if we want to develop intimacy with a human being, let's say with a son or a daughter, or with your wife, it involves the investment of quality time. And the same thing is true with our Lord. And so what you've pointed out is so important for everybody to hear. If you stop going to church, or you stop reading the Bible, or you stop praying, what you do is you separate yourself from God. It doesn't mean that your union with God is gone, but it does mean that your communion with God is broken and that intimacy wanes. Developing intimacy involves the investment of quality time.
Thank you very much, Hank.
You got it, Jason. Appreciate your call. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, we thank those that support this ministry. We simply can't do what we do without you. The gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. So we ask you to pray for us and to support this ministry, particularly at this junction as we are behind and trying to catch up. By God's grace, we will, as God brings people like you and resources into the lives of people, because that's what it's about. It's not about giving to us, but through us, touching the lives of people for time and for eternity. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can pick up the phone and talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Thanks for tuning in. See you next time with more.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, "Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity." Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now.